Hi, Scott.
All right, guys, let's do it. A fantastic round, Ban. Parshas Toldos. Also, Guten Rosh Chodesh, everybody. Kislev is amazing. All right, you ready? Raman starts off in Toldos, Perech Avav, Pasuk Hey, by quoting a famous Rashi. Rashi says on the Pasuk of Aishmar Mishmarti, so Lashon Rashi, Bekoli, that Avram and Avos listened to Hashem's voice when he tested them. So now Rashi goes into a little bit of an elaboration over here. He explains how each one of the words in the Pesukim match up with different things that the Avos did. So he explains, Mishmarti, what is my Mishmeres? So it's Gzeros laharchaka, Kigon Shnios laharayos, Shvus laShabbos. And the Avos kept the mitzvos, even though it was before Matan Torah, they kept the mitzvos down to the smallest details, even things which are only Dirabanan laws, which is interesting because they lived well before the rabbis ever did. Okay, so they kept even Dirabanan laws. That's what Mishmarti refers to. Mitzvosai, my mitzvos, what mitzvos do they have? So it says, these are the mitzvos that are self-evident. You know, the ones that even if we hadn't had the Torah, there are certain natural law, things that everybody would know not to do. You don't steal, you don't kill, certain things which are obvious, what we would sometimes refer to as mitzvos sichlios, right? Things that are self-evident, that anybody who's thinking would have done on their own. Chukosai are the opposite of that. Those are ones that are, you know, more obscure. Reasons that we can't necessarily access why Hashem told us to do so. We believe that they have a reason to it, but we don't necessarily access that reason. So that's what Chukosai refer to. For example, things that the Yetzer Hara and the Ovdei Gelulim referred, that they make fun of, that we do, for example, not eating pork, or wearing shatness, or other things along those lines. And the last thing in the pasuk, torosai, my toros, right? So that's a plural word. So Rashi is referring to the other type of Torah that we have. Aside from the Torah Shebaksav, we also have the Torah Shebal Peh. So all these things were kept by the Avos. All these various types of mitzvot. Even down to Takanot Derabanan. And if you note, just in the methodology again, we have Rashi saying specific things for each one of these terms in the pasuk. The pasuk sounds pretty long. You know, what do we need to hear? Mishmarti, and mitzvosai, and chukosai, and torosai. What exactly is Hashem telling us here? Each one of them refers to a specific category, which is very useful to understand that when I see the word chukosai elsewhere in the Torah, I'll know how to define it. Each one of these in Rashi is coming off of other sources and other reasons to say so. All right, so that's Rashi. Rashi tells us, Chazal tell us, that the Avos kept the mitzvos down to every last detail, even though it was before the Torah was given. All right, it's a little hard to swallow for a bunch of reasons, but let's see what the Ramban has to say about it, okay? Paragraph number 2. V'imkein, now to the Ramban talk. If this is so, that the Avos kept the mitzvos beforehand, yet kol zeh banoy al das she Avram mekayim u'mishamer es haTorah ad shelo nidna. So apparently Avram kept the Torah, every detail, even though it was before it was given. And he says, you know what? In fact, this is what Chazal say. He quotes a Medrash, which tells us that, we might have heard of it before, that Yosef sent back wagons to Yaakov Avinu to prove that he was alive. Why would wagons indicate anything about Yosef still being alive? Oh, because the last thing that they had learned was Egla Arufa. The word Egla, which refers to a cow, sounds like Agalo, which refers to wagons. So he was saying, oh, the last thing we learned, I still stayed a firm Jew while we were still there. But apparently, Yaakov and Yosef were learning Torah together. They were learning the mitzvah of Egla Arufa well before the Torah was given. So this Medrash supports this idea, as well as the fact that the Medrash itself then elaborates and says the Avos kept every last one of the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs, and he quotes our pasuk over here. Okay, so the Ramban provides the Chazal background. Here's a source sheet if you'd like. The Ramban provides some of the Chazal background which Rashi's coming off of. Various midrashim which indicate that the Bnei Yisrael initial progenitors actually kept the Torah before we as a group were given the Torah. Again, strange, but here's where it becomes problematic. You guys might have your own problems which we can discuss about it. But let's see what the Ramban's are. Paragraph 3. V'yesh lishul. One has to ask the following question. Imkain, if this is all true, 4 troublesome incidents that the Ramban quotes. Number 1. Eich hekim Yaakov matzeva. How could Yaakov establish a matzeva? When Yaakov runs away from Esav, he builds a matzeva. Wait, hold on. The Torah tells you it's usur to build a matzeva. A matzeva is a single stone altar. Our altars all have to be made up of different stones. Our mizbachot are all from a lot of different stones. As opposed to a matzeva, one distinguishing factor is that it's only with one stone. Yet Yaakov Avinu did something which the Torah tells you is usur to do. Yaakov did. Question 1. If Yaakov kept the Torah, right, what was he doing building Matzeva? Number 2, what else did Yaakov do? That villainous person, Yaakov, you know, you never think of Yaakov as a bad guy, but here you do. Yaakov sinned again. Exactly, he married not 2 wives, 2 sisters. You're allowed to, technically, according to Torah law, nowadays is different, but you were allowed to marry more than 1 wife. But Yaakov married 2 sisters, which is actually a low sasa in the Torah. You're not allowed to marry 2 sisters. What's the deal? And then he quotes a medrash, which is interesting. Some of you might not have known this. Ukadasa was saying to Arba, he married four sisters. What do you mean, Yaakov married four sisters? Actually, the Chazal tell us that Bilhah and Zilpah were daughters of Lavan as well. They were from Pilagshim, and that's why they were like servants. But actually, they all four wives of Yaakov were sisters. That just aggravates the problem. So two troublesome stories about Yaakov. If Yaakov really kept the Torah, like the Avos apparently did, why did Yaakov build a Matzeva, which is Usser? Why did Yaakov marry two, or maybe even four, sisters, which is definitely Usser? Okay, two problems with Yaakov. That's not where it ends. Another troubling incident. Amram, who was Amram, Chazal tell us that he never sinned. He was one of four people that never sinned in their entire life, along with Binyamin, Yishai, and Kilav. Okay, four special people who never sinned in their entire life. They only died because death was decreed upon the Bnei Israel and the rest of the world as well. So, how could Amram, who never even sinned, have married who? His aunt. That's another Isser in the Torah. Yet, Amram married the daughter of Levi, who was his grandfather. Levi was his grandfather. He married the daughter of Levi, Yocheved. Amram was Moshe's father. And yet, he married his own aunt, which is another Isser in the Torah. Three problematic stories. And the final one that the Ramban quotes, although there might be more, if you try to think hard, you might see other incidents. But a fourth one the Ramban quotes is Moshe Rabbeinu himself. By Har Sinai, Moshe builds, we go back to Matzevos, 12 Matzevos. One representing each Sheva. Oh, what a beautiful idea. You know, every Sheva gets its own Matzeva. Yeah, except the Matzeva is Usser. You know, it would be nice if everybody had, you know, their own flag and we all waved and unity, yet, you know, not uniformity. Beautiful. But that's not what this was. This was an Isser. Each Sheva got its own Isser. What's the deal? If the Avos kept the Torah before the Torah was given, whatever that means, then why do we see that they didn't? All right, so that's how the Ramban starts off. So now, you might have thought that, you know, the issue is simply because we said that all the Avos kept the Torah. But the Ramban makes it a little bit deeper. The Ramban explains. Look how he phrases the question. I want to show you the depth of the Ramban. V'heich, in the second line, point one that he makes. V'heich efsher sheyu noagim heter b'torah v'mash usser Avram Avinu al atzmo. The first reason why this is problematic is that they should have followed in the way of their forefathers. Avram Avinu was a great man, a wise man, a thought-out man, and he had certain hanhagos. He behaved in a certain manner. Simply by that fact alone, that their father did something, which is a good muster for us to go. If your father does something, you should always assume that there's reason to it, and should try to follow after his path. So just because Avram did it, they should have followed after Avram. And yet you see the Bnei Israel didn't keep the Torah, even though Avram did. Second of all, the Ramban makes, V'kavah lo Hashem schar al adavar. Not only did Avram do it, but Hashem gave him schar for it, as the Pasuk tells us. This was the reason why Hashem said, oh, since Avram keeps my mitzvos, I'm going to go and give him all these great things. So that has 2 points, even within that idea. Why was it important that Avram got schar? First of all, you see that it was the right thing to do. That's why Hashem rewarded him. So the Avos, who were good people, Moshe Rabbeinu was a good person, he should have done the right thing to do, just by force of that is the right thing. And a less, idealistic way of looking at things was that you get schar for it. If the Avos knew, you get promises of riches and your own land and greatness, then they should have done the Torah because they saw that Avram was rewarded. So on a more spiritual way, or even on a more practical way, either way, once they saw Avram was getting schar, they should have kept the mitzvos as well. So number one, since Avram did it, they should have done it. Number two, if Hashem gave Avram schar, it was clearly the right thing to do, and it was worthwhile for them to do it. So why did Yaakov not keep the Torah? Why did Moshe? Why did Amram not keep the Torah, at least in certain regards? And finally, you might have thought to yourself, look, of the Midrashim we saw the Midrash tell us that Avram kept the Torah. We saw the Midrash tell us that Yosef HaTzadik learned Torah with Yaakov. And in fact, there's a Midrash which says that Yosef kept the Torah as well. We'll get to it soon. But maybe you'll say, all right, that was Yosef and Avram. So Yosef and Avram were actually great. Yaakov maybe wasn't as good as we thought he was after all. Maybe Yaakov didn't keep the Torah, whereas Avram and Yosef had. Maybe Moshe didn't. Do we have a Medrash that says Moshe kept all the Torah beforehand? I don't know. So the Ramban says, not so fast. In question number three that we have over here, the Ramban says, Ubi Yaakov darshu sheshomer es haShabbos b'kavat tachumim. Specifically by Yaakov, one of the Midrashim tells us that Yaakov kept the Shabbos, and not only did he keep the Shabbos, he even kept the Dirabanan components. Well, tachumim, what exactly it says, this is a whole complex issue, but let's assume it's Dirabanan. So he even kept the Dirabanan issue. So Yaakov was not a lowlife. Yaakov was a great person, as we would have known anyhow. But you see, even this particular aspect, that he kept all the mitzvos before they were given, Chazal tell us Yaakov did so. Yet Yaakov built a matzeva. Yet Yaakov married sisters. What's going on? So the Ramban is going to end up with three total perspectives, three different answers. Again, there are many questions to ask here. I'm just telling you the simple shot in the Ramban, trying to show different aspects of that. There's a lot more to mine out of this Ramban. His precise language, the way he specifically builds on ideas, but, you know, some of those we'll leave for afterwards. For now, I'll try to hit the main points. Okay, explanation number one, okay? First, he zones in on one of the things that's the most commonly occurring in these midrashim, which is Shabbos. And he says, you know what? Maybe Shabbos was unique. Shabbos was something that was dear to the Avos' heart. It was something that mattered to them. If you read by the little Aleph, maybe it was Shabbos. Shabbos is unique. Shabbos is equal to the entire rest of the Torah. If you deny Shabbos, as if you deny the whole Torah. We can't drink your wine if you deny Shabbos. So, maybe Shabbos was an exception. So the Midrashim particularly mentioned how Yaakov kept Shabbos and he kept Tchumim and other things like that. The Midrashim specifically refer to Shabbos, so maybe Shabbos was unique, that they kept specifically not all the mitzvahs, but the mitzvah of Shabbos beforehand. What about some of the other things referred to in the Midrash? So still in his first answer, Shabbos is an exception, plus he says they kept the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. All right, that's not a big chiddush. You know, everybody has to keep the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. The seven special Noahide laws. Right, so each one of these they kept. The Ramban says they didn't just keep them, they kept them to the fullest. Everything about those mitzvos, they covered. If there was anything that had a taint of Avodah Zarah, they stayed away from it. If it had anything that had a taint of Gezel, they stayed away from any sort of stealing, any sort of arayos. Okay, so that's basically this pshat. So I want to make two points about this Ramban and this explanation. Basically, his first answer is that they kept Shabbos, which was unique, plus the seven mitzvos when they Noach, seven mitzvos when they Noach, like upgraded to the best of their ability. And that's why when we see the Midrashim, they all will fall under those different categories. Either the seven mitzvos in a broad sense or Shabbos. But it doesn't mean that they kept the entire Torah. So therefore it was okay for Yaakov to build Matzeva. Therefore it was okay for them to marry, you know, sisters or something like that, for Moshe to build Matzeva. Right? That's okay because those don't fall under the seven, even the broadened sense, nor does it fall under the category of Shabbos. That's his first answer. Okay? So just two arrows in that. Number one, is that there's a very important machlokas about the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach between the Rambam and the Ramban. It actually comes up in Parshas Vayishlach. Maybe we'll do it when we get there. It's a very important Ramban. And the whole story with Shechem about why Shimon and Levi had a right to kill all of Shechem. What had they done wrong that they deserved? So there's a machlokas there between the Rambam and the Ramban over the nature of one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. One of the mitzvos that the Noahides have to all keep is that they have to set up court systems. Now they have to have judges called dinim, right? They have to have this mitzvah of dinim. But it's not at all clear what dinim actually includes. What does it mean that they have to set up court systems? Well, the Rambam thinks it's very, very limited. Simply put, all that the mitzvah of dinim are, according to the Rambam in the Sheva Mitzvah Noach, is simply that they have to uphold the other six laws. For example, let's say we were all goyim, okay? Right, but we were all goyim. And so we have to keep the Sheva Mitzvah Noach. And I catch Ehud, you know, stealing something. So the punishment actually for a goy who violates one of the Sheva Mitzvos Noach is death. They all die for all six of theirs, all six of the other mitzvahs. So what's my job since I witnessed death? Now my job is to make sure he dies for that. I have to go and uphold justice. If I fail to make sure that the other six laws are upkept, then I failed in the mitzvah of dinim. But that's the extent of it. It's not like other things that would fall under the category of dinim that you might have thought. For example, different monetary law about paying back a loan. Or, you know, ribbis is interesting. But various monetary things. So those don't fall under dinim in the Rambam's worldview. But the Ramban believes in a much broader perspective. The Ramban thinks that each one of them, these Sheva Mitzvot Noach, actually has subcategories within them. That there's more things that all of Choshen Mishpat, or a lot of Choshen Mishpat, might fall under the category of dinim. It's not so simple, that's what the Ramban means. It's one interpretation of the Ramban, but I'm just mentioning that over here you see that the Ramban believes that the Sheva Mitzvot can be broader than they are. It's not just don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't curse Hashem, don't do Avodah Zarah, don't eat every man of Chai. It's not just that. They're more broad than that, and therefore certain other mitzvot might fall under these categories. All right, so that's one point in the Ramban, which is interesting to see in this general first answer. The other point I want to make is that, do you guys feel satisfied with this answer? Why not? What's wrong with the answer? Anybody have a suggestion? What's missing? Yeah.
You said all the mitzvos.
Exactly. Dikduke mitzvos. Even the derabanans. Right? That sounds like all the mitzvos. So you can say, no, he means like upgraded versions of the Sheva Mitzvos they know. But that's one weak point of this chat. I totally agree with you. That's a good point. Any other issues with this? This is one of the ones I was thinking of. Yeah.
Do
Exactly. That was the other thing that was bothering me. Very good. Very good. What about the fact of marrying two sisters? Wouldn't you have thought that falls under Arias? Wouldn't you have thought marrying your aunt falls under Arias? Okay, so maybe not. Maybe not all of them are brought in. You know, maybe specifically like Dinam is brought in, but not Arias. You know, that's specifically adultery or something. It doesn't sit so well with me. Also, Matseva, the reason why Matseva is Asur is because generally was used for Avodah Zarah. That could have fallen under that. I'm not so satisfied with this answer personally, but that's the Ramban's first shot in explaining Chazal's words, that this means that Avram and the other Avos kept all of the Torah. Okay, first explanation. We've noticed some weak points. There are a lot of other weak points in it, but let's not highlight them. Let's complete this pshat. The last thing the Ramban mentions is a disproof to this pshat, not what we just suggested. The Ramban said, hold on one second. He calls us out on another mitzvah that the Medrash says that the Avos kept. Look at the second to last line over there. Vidarshu, and the Chazal also make a drasha, B'mei Sharim. You know, this week's parsha, right? Yitzhak planted fields and they came up 100-fold. You know, not that they had 100 chasidim and B'mei Sharim, but rather it means that they had 100-fold times the amount that he had planted. Wonderful. Great job, Yitzhak. And then it says that he gave off Meisr from it. That's what the Medrash tells us. Trumos and Meisros are a different mitzvah. And come on, where do they fall into the you know, Arayos, maybe we could argue about, you know, there's two sisters, but surely the idea of giving Truma and Meisr is not any of the seven mitzvahs they know of. And it's not Shabbos. So the Ramban is forced to say, according to this whole first pshat, it's another exception. It's another exception. In the same way that Shabbos is so important, because it testifies to Brias Olam and Meisr Bereishis. Right, so that is important. So that's an exception. That's also they kept because of, like, you know, the deos that you can gain from that. So also giving off Truma and Meisr. His language, let's read it inside, it's beautiful. Ki ha'yu ha'avos nidide nidive amim. Paseis Meisr slaniyim. Ola kahane Hashem. Right, they were generous people. It shows you the generosity and spirit of the Avos. They would give money to the poor people. They would give money to the righteous people. They would make sure to donate of their money. And that's the nature of this thing. So the Avos basically, according to pshat number one in the Ramban, how do we understand that they kept the mitzvot before the Torah was given? They kept the seven mitzvot, upgraded. They also kept Shabbos. And they also gave tzedakah and, you know, were kind, generous people. That's number one. Let's move on to the pshat that the Ramban thinks is really correct. Maybe he didn't like it for the reason that we suggested, right? Maybe he had other reasons. But maybe it's the fact that he has to keep making exceptions. So, next paragraph. Vanira Eli. That always means that this one he thinks is better, right? It appears more correct to me. But notice language, midas rabbo seinu. Within Chazal's interpretation that we started off with, that the simple reading of the pasuk is not that they just, you know, did what was right, but rather they actually kept the mitzvos. So I think the correct interpretation according to Chazal is not that Chazal meant to say what we just said, that the seven mitzvot plus Shabbos plus Meisr. No. He says, really, really, they kept all 613. You know, really, all 613. Which might raise some issues, like I was alluding to before, and which we can discuss more after if you'd like. But like, huh? Machias Amalek. They annihilated Amalek. Amalek wasn't born. So how exactly did they keep that mitzvah? What about writing a Sefer Torah? So they wrote a Sefer Torah as they were living what the Sefer Torah would be written. What does that mean? So there's a lot of depth there. There's a lot of discussion points. But I'm just mentioning some of the reasons why this pshat also is going to have its own naughty bits. Right, so what does Ramban say? He says they kept all 613 and even the Dikduke Sofrim, every little last detail of the mitzvot. That really is what Chazal meant. All right, so if so, we're back to square one. How did Yaakov build a Matzeva? How did Moshe build a Matzeva? How did Amram marry his aunt? How did Yaakov marry his sister? Right, what's going on? Well, that's a separate question, which I raise, not what the Ramban's going to raise. We'll discuss that after, though. Okay? So what's pshat? The Ramban explains. V'anir Eli midas rabbo seinu. Sh'lomed Avraham Avinu ha-Torah kula v'ruach ha-kodesh v'osak ba u'betamei mitzvoseha v'sodoseha. Avraham learned every last detail. He understood the Torah. He learned the Torah. He was involved with the Torah. V'shamar osa. Right? Meaning, up until this point, you could say, oh, maybe he just understood Torah through Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't actually observe it. No, here he says. He observed it. V'shamar osa kula. He observed all of it. K'mi she'enu metuvah v'osa. Like the category of somebody who is not metuvah v'osa. Something that we have in Maseches Kedushin as well. Again, I don't know how far you guys are at Mekias. As we get later in the year, I'll be able to refer more and more to the Kedushin. But one of the things that comes up in Kedushin is the idea of somebody who's enu metuvah v'osa. For example, women might do certain mitzvahs which they're not obligated in, but they do it anyhow. You get less schar for it for a variety of reasons. But you can still do mitzvahs sometimes, even if you're not actually halakhically obligated in doing so. And you'll still get schar for it. So the Avos were the same way. They hadn't had the Torah yet. They weren't commanded to keep Shabbos, but they wanted to keep Shabbos. And they did keep Shabbos under the general rubric of those that are Enu Metuvah V'Oseh. All right, but how does that answer anything? So what? Still, why didn't they keep Matzeva? Why didn't they keep not marrying two sisters? Right? If they were doing things, okay, maybe they weren't obligated to, but why didn't they do it? So we answers. Vishmi Raso Osa Haya B'aretz Bilvad. Ramban's answer is, that it was only in Eretz Yisrael that they kept the mitzvahs. Huh, very interesting. Why would that be? Why would that be? But before we explain that, the Ramban explains how that answers up all of our questions. Remember, what were our questions? Yaakov building Matseva, Yaakov marrying two sisters. Where did Yaakov marry the two sisters? In Haran, when he was by Lavan. Where did Moshe build the Matsevas? By Har Sinai, in the Midbar. Where did Amram marry his aunt? In Egypt. But which one did I leave out? Which one's missing? Yaakov building a Matseva. Where did he do that? When he was running away. By Be'er Sheva. Very good. I think it might have also been by Beit El. It depends on what exactly was going on over there with the ladder. But, Lemaise, he built the Matseva. But it was in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the Ramban going to do with that one? Okay, great. We answered up three of the four. But what about that case? Didn't Yaakov observe the Torah in Eretz Yisrael as well? So he mentions, V'yaakov b'chutz la'aretz nasa'ach. So that's where he married the sisters. V'chein Amram. And that's where Amram married the aunt.
He was married to them.
That's another good question on this. Because after all, he didn't get divorced when he came. Yeah. Yeah, the actual Maisa Kedushin, which we're learning about, right? So it wasn't there. Who cares? You're not allowed to live with somebody who's us or even after the Maisa Kedushin. You know, somebody marries somebody that's not allowed to. Even if Kedushin is Tosin, you're not allowed to stay married to them afterwards. Okay, so Vishamar. Okay, so Kiya Mitzvos Mishpat Elokei Ha'aretain. Afal Pisha's Harne B'chov Asaguf Mikol Makom. Even though in every scenario, you're always chayiv in a chovas ha'aguf. Another thing that comes up in Kedushin. Things that are actually chayiv on you, as opposed to on things that are chovas ha'aretz, things that have to do with, that grow with Eretz Yisrael, like Trumos Ma'isros and things like that. So a thing that's a personal obligation, that exists even outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Ramban explains something that's very esoteric, very deep. We can also discuss it in other times. There's two other times I put on here that he discusses this at much greater length, about the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. I mentioned last week how the Ramban has a unique perspective on Eretz Yisrael. This is another one of his regards. In some places, he indicates even that keeping mitzvos, this is a dangerous statement, but don't misunderstand it, are sort of like practice outside of Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, that's like the real deal. That's not to say that you're not chayiv, because you actually are chayiv in Chovas HaGuf. But certainly, in the days of the Avos, before we were chayiv in actual Chovas HaGuf, they only lived with the mitzvos when they were in Eretz Yisrael, where it was specifically special to do so. There's a lot of reasons why that might be, which he elaborates more on. It's not our major topic for this week, but for another time. Basically, his point was, though, his answer here is that they kept all 613 mitzvahs. Oh, what about the exceptions, right, that they seemingly didn't? No, all those incidents all happened outside of Eretz Yisrael. What about the Yaakov story? So now he raises that point. He says, V'hamatseva, you see bolded on the end of the fourth line, V'hamatseva, mitzvah sheneschad shabizman yaduah. Matseva is unique. Matseva wasn't problematic in the days of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. It was only problematic at a later point in time. He quotes a medrash to back that up. That initially, in the days of the Avos, the Sefri tells us, Matseva was a beautiful way of Avodas Hashem. It was a wonderful way to serve Hashem. You make an altar with only one stone and you spread some oil on it. Delightful. It was only later, after the Obdei Avodah Zarah started using this for Avodah Zarah, that it became ma'as in the eyes of Hashem. It was disgusting. Hashem didn't want this act of service anymore, and that's why he prohibited it when he gave the Torah. It would begin to solve the Amalek question by first asking the question, what does that mean, that a mitzvah was only generated later in time? Aren't we used to the idea that mitzvahs are eternal? So, what does exactly that mean? So, they still are eternal, and they still have the relevance beforehand. But, again, it's a conversation which requires more elaboration. In essence, the idea is that mitzvahs represent eternal truth. In the same way, if you took light and you shone it through different prisms, it would appear different as it came out. Torah was created before the world was created. That's what Chazal said. Hashem looked into the Torah and then created the world. Clearly, the Torah came first, then he did it. Chazal also tells us the Torah was created 2,000 years before the world was created. What does that mean? There was no ox to talk about in Bava Kamma, yet the Torah talks about oxes. So what it really means, or at least one way to understand it, is that Torah in its raw form, as a sort of emanation from Hashem, a fulfillment of Hashem's divine will, existed in a raw form. As Hashem concretized it by creating the world, it played into time. Torah is before time. Torah is above time. Yet as it was created, it came into time and took certain applications as Hashem saw fit in creating our world to make it the way he would, with as the mitzvahs took certain forms based off of certain eternal truths. But those forms might be able to be tainted as they come into the world. For example, if the goyim start doing something bad, so maybe Hashem will say, the divine will is channeled, therefore, to avoid doing what the goyim are doing. And thus, the mitzvah of Matseva took its application in this world off of actions human beings took in this world. It's a deeper idea which requires more fleshing out, but I don't want to leave you without an answer. That's a beginning of an answer. It requires more elaboration, but it's the basic point. The Ramban's point, therefore, what about Matzeva? Matzeva was in Eretz Yisrael, and Yaakov built one in Eretz Yisrael. I thought we said the whole answer in the second answer is that they kept the 613, but only in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer is, Matzevas weren't yet bad. They were unique. Only once the Torah was given were Matzevas actually considered bad, which is something which requires more thought, but it allows the Ramban to escape from this particular troubling incident. Therefore, the Ramban's second shot is that the Avos kept every last mitzvah that was relevant beforehand, that was actually fulfillment of divine will before the Torah was given, and they only did this while in Eretz Yisrael. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, they did not. A fascinating idea. Anybody has any questions, I'd love to discuss it more afterwards. Now, he quotes another troublesome medrash, though. What about Yosef? Yosef, the medrash tells us, kept Shabbos. But where was Yosef when he kept Shabbos? In Mitzrayim. Why would Yosef keep the mitzvos? I thought we don't need to keep the mitzvos. Or at least the Avos didn't need to keep the mitzvos. They only were doing a mitzvah of Osa, and they only did it when they were in Eretz Yisrael. But outside Eretz Yisrael, they didn't. So what was Yosef doing keeping Shabbos? So the Ramban draws back on a point that he had mentioned above. That maybe Shabbos is unique. You know, Shabbos we can't talk about. Shabbos is especially potent as an educational device. Think about it. Yosef was alone, away from his family, away from the influence of his father. He had kids in Egypt. They didn't know anything about Yiddishkeit. He wanted to instruct them in the proper understandings of the world, in the proper conceptions of Hashem. And therefore, he taught them Shabbos. He had them keep Shabbos too. So that way, they would grow up different than the Mitzrayim. That way, Ephraim and Manasseh would become, as great as they were, that they would become the Shvatim as well, because they kept Shabbos in those days, which just shows you about the importance of Shabbos' unique role. And therefore, Lefisha, he ate us al Chiddush Olam, Vahaya Osa Kain, Lamias Banav, Amunas, Briyas Olam, Lahoti Milibam, Kavanas Avodazara, Vedeos Hamitzrim, Vizos Kavanasam. That's why he would go and teach them, in order so that way they would be different from the Mitzrayim and they would understand things. All right. That's all within Chazal. That's all within Chazal interpreting this pasuk as saying the Avos kept the mitzvot. Torosai, Chukosai, Mishpatai. But the Ramban says that's only within Chazal. I've given you two answers. You don't have to read the pasuk that way. And I'm going to give you one al derech hapshat, which is something important for the methodology of the Ramban. He reveres Chazal and he often uses them. And very often the Ramban thinks the deeper you get within Chazal's drushes, the more you realize how they're actually in line with pshat in the pasuk. Often the more deep ideas, the deeper ideas, are the ones that are actually closer to pshat. A discussion for another time. I just want to highlight that methodology that even though we'll sometimes quote Chazal, he'll sometimes suggest things which appear to be the simpler read in the pasuk. Shimon Banam LaTorah. So, he says, Valderech HaPshat, a third explanation of how to read this pasuk. Nothing to do with the colloquial mitzvot. The way we refer to mitzvot as, like, you know, one of the 613 that Hashem commanded us in. No, no, no. These are referring to special things that actually apply to the Avos, more so than other things like a matzeva or whatever. There's no reason they shouldn't do a matzeva. They can do whatever they want before the Torah was given. But these are referring to other things. Valderech HaPshat Ne'emar Shehei Mishmarti. Emunas Elokus, that's simply believing in Hashem. Shehemin ba'Hashem ha'miyuchad, v'shamar mishmer zubalibo. He guarded this safeguard in his heart, and he argued on those that did Avodah Zarah, and he explained Hashem's, you know, unique position in the world to all the people. That's what Mishmarti refers to. Now, Avram was a God-fearing person, and he communicated God's message in the world. What about the other things? Mitzvosai, what commandments did Avram get? Right, commandments, mitzvosai is the more difficult one, because that sounds like it's an actual command. What do you mean, though, the Ramban says? There were commands. Lech lecha, the Akedah, Avram upkept his mitzvot. Those that were relevant to him, the commands that Hashem gave him. Sending away Hagar and her son. What are chukosai? That's a little bit more difficult. What are chukosai then? What does that mean for the Ramban? Well, for Rashi, fit. We use chukos throughout the whole Torah as referring to the ideas that are beyond us. Logical, but not necessarily to human reason. What are these ideas then within the Ramban's pshat explanation? Lelechas bedarkei Hashem. Lioschanan v'racham osim stakum mishpat. Right, in order to go ahead and uphold the righteous ways of Hashem, to follow after Hashem, to go after Hashem's ways. One might ask on that, hold on one second, isn't that pretty logical? If we're generally used to the idea that chukosai refer to things that are, you know, harder for the human mind to grasp, so why would the Ramban specifically say that chukosai refer to just being a nice person that Avraham was? You know, that he was good to people, he followed in Hashem's ways, not that he did mitzvot per se, but he was just, you know, a good person. Why would he call that chukos? Maybe that should be torosai or something else, I don't know. Derachai. Why? Chukosai. So I saw a beautiful pshat, one of my friends showed me, Jason, he's in Kolel. So he showed me from the Sefer of Rav Schwab on Chumash, main base of Shueva. So he explains that the Ramban is teaching us a very deep idea. That sometimes there's chesed, which is intuitive. Things that you're supposed to do. You know, you're nice to people that are nice to you. You're nice to good people. Right? That was one level of chesed. But there's another level of chesed. Be nice to those that aren't nice to you. Be nice to people who aren't good people. Hashem, we know, is Chanun V'Racham Al Kol Ma'asav. He is merciful on all of his creations. And therefore, we too should strive. Even those that we don't particularly like, this guy's annoying. This guy's weird. He's a jerk. He's actually a jerk. What do you want from me? I don't want to be his friend. No. Go out of your way to go ahead and do it. And that is something which is maybe harder for us to understand, or logically we wouldn't have done so, but it's the right thing to do. It's to follow in Hashem's ways. Yes?
So, and also by
it's brazen. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly aligned with that. You have to be a nice person, even when it means you bend over backward. And the last thing in the pasuk Torah Sion, which will end, Hamila ba'atzmo ubana va'avodav u'mitzvas b'nei Noach kulan. Here we have the Sheva Mitzvot b'nei Noach. Of course, Avram and the other Avos kept the Sheva Mitzvot b'nei Noach, and their unique mitzvah of Mila. That Avram had an additional mitzvah besides the seven, he had an eighth, which was the mitzvah of Mila, which Hashem commanded him. And that's what we mean classically under the mitzvah of Torah Sai. Three pshatim in the Ramban, how to understand the psukim, two within Chazal, one on his own with the pshat. Within Chazal, he explains they did keep all the mitzvahs. But when we say all the mitzvahs, we mean option one, that they kept the Sheva mitzvahs upgraded, plus Shabbos, plus Meiser. And the second answer that he gives according to Chazal is that they kept actually all the 613, even the dictate sofrim, even the little details that Chazal teach us. But they only did it in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. You'll ask, what about Matseva, which was done in Eretz Yisrael? That's unique. Matseva was something that only became bad later, whatever that means. All right. Outside of Chazal, reading the pasuk Pipshat, it just refers to the things which were actually relevant to the Avos. You know, the mitzvot that Hashem said, Lech Lecha, do the Akedah, being a good person, keeping the Sheva mitzvot in the Noach, and that's what each one of these things in the pasuk refers to. Overall, a jam-packed Ramban. Just to end off, the two that you guys want to see, I put on here, the second one, if anybody wants to do as homework, a fascinating point about, hold on 1 second. If the Navi told Rivka that Rav Yavod Sa'ir, that the older brother will serve the younger one, then it was clear that Yaakov was predestined to be the greater one. If that's true, then why didn't she just tell that to Yitzhak? What, Yitzhak was going to go against the words of a Nebuah? Yitzhak would have obviously loved Yaakov more. He wouldn't have had to deal with this whole shenanigans that they had to devise in order to go and enable Yaakov to get the brachos. She could have said, hey, Yitzhak, you're a great man. You believe in Nevi'im. The Navi told me the following. Yaakov is the winner. Give him the brachos. Ad Khan. Over to the end of the conversation. Ramban addresses that point. Why didn't she tell Yitzhak? And a little bit more. Okay? Ayin Sham. The last thing that I put on the sheet, in case anybody else wants to see, a fascinating argument between the Ramban, and this one I didn't put on here, you can check it out, Ayin Sham Vitim Sanachas. Look up there and enjoy. Basically, you find over there a fascinating machlokas between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, which is each one of them very much in their lines. Ibn Ezra basically thinks that the reason why Yitzhak loved Yaakov so much, believe it or not, it's a funny pshah, was because they were poverty-stricken. Even though it seems like the Avos were exceedingly wealthy, but yeah, they lost all the money in the stock market, basically, the Ibn Ezra says. Yeah, they went up and down. So at that point in history, they had no money. Yitzhak was able to provide the family with food by going out and hunting. And he loved to have, finally, oh, Yitzhak was always so hungry. So, you know, Esav went out and hunted and brought in food. Yaakov just sat and learned. He didn't like him. He liked Esav. A very weird shot of the Ibn Ezra. The Ramban takes him to task. Attacks every one of his, like, 8 points. Like, that is stupid. That is stupid. That's really stupid. Ayin Sham, if you want to see Ramban at his finest taking on the Ibn Ezra, I put the source over there. All right, guys. Yashar Koach.
It is. A little bit. Although